Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Well, Judges chapter number 7, beginning with verse 1, here's what it says. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I can't deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would get a big head, and they would boast against me. My own strength have saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who's scared, trembles with fear, may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many of them. Take them down to the water, and I will then deal with them. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cup hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. Now the camp of the Midian lay below him in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand of the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. He said, "Man, I had a dream. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent and with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hand." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of the Israel and called out, "Get up, get up, get up, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into our hands." Divided the men to 300. He placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout. For the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Just after they had changed the guard, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew their trumpets and smashed the jars and the torches in their left hand, holding in their right hand the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shida, toward Zerah, as far as the border. I'll stop there. That's the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. I told you I was kind of a lengthy passage of scripture, but it paints a picture that's going to help us on today. Will you help me introduce this morning's sermon by looking at your neighbor? Look at your neighbor. Look, y'all looking at me. Look at your neighbor. There you go. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, today's sermon is when less is more. Look at another neighbor. Look at you're the wrong one. Look at another neighbor. Look at another one. Look at you. There you go. Look at your neighbor. All right. And say, neighbor, today's sermon is when less is more. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. We thank you now for this opportunity to share your word. Father, I pray now that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Soundly now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit Divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When less is more. A researcher found that the average professional, now some of y'all are a little above average, but the average professional receives 304 emails per week, checks their smartphone 36 times per hour, and gets interrupted every 8 minutes. Given that, it's not hard to imagine why our attention spans are shrinking. In 2000, the average attention span was said to be 12 seconds. In 2012, it went down to 8 seconds. I told y'all I don't want to be long because your attention span is too short. I want to try to be brief and brilliant. We live in a time when we judge a person's social capital by the amount of followers they have on social media. Some people get upset when you unfriend them. Mess around and unfriend somebody accidentally. They gonna call, you unfriended me. What did I do wrong to you? It could have just been an act. People get upset over it. People watch their numbers on Instagram and on Twitter just to see how many followers they have. I want to suggest to us this morning, brothers and sisters, that if we're going to win when the odds are against us, if we're going to go get all that God has for us, then brothers and sisters, we're going to have to place more importance on quality and not quantity. I'm going to say that one more time. If we're going to get all that God has for us, if we're going to win when the odds are stacked against us, then we're going to have to place more importance on quality and not on quantity. Many of us have had the unnerving experience of going out of your way to help a person only to find out that when you need them, they lack the quality of a real friend. When they needed you, you could always talk to them. You could call them at any time. They would always pick up, hey man, you good? You could text them and reply immediately. You know, the little bubble on the iPhone, it pops up. You always got their attention whenever they need you. They're liking all your pictures on Instagram and Facebook. They come in on everything. Oh, but when you need them, it seems as though they took a trip to the moon and didn't tell you they were leaving. If we're going to win, some of the toughest battles of life, we have to come to grips with the fact that sometimes less is more. God, deliver me from fake and phony people who are all about themselves. I need quality over quantity. God, deliver me from so-called friends. God, help me regulate the company that I keep. God, help me to be comfortable enough with me that I don't have to surround myself with people who don't mean me any good. In our text this morning, Gideon helps us to understand how having less can help us get more of what God has for us. Gideon teaches us that if we're going to win some of life's toughest battles, then we're going to have to, first of all, let some people go. Look at your neighbor and say, let them go. Let them go. Let them go. We got to let some people go. Last week, we looked at Joshua going to get the city of Jericho because God had promised them the land. After Joshua had defeated all of Israel's enemies and established the tribes of Israel in the promised land, Joshua died. And instead of appointing another main military leader, God would occasionally raise up men and women who were called judges to lead segments of the Israelites against local enemies. And so we're in the book of Judges. The very fact that they had to fight these enemies was due to their own disobedience at times. Nevertheless, God was gracious and would provide for them what was necessary when it came to leadership, helping to get them back on track. It is in this kind of setting that Gideon's story took place. Gideon was one of those local judges raised up by God to deliver a localized group from a group of people known as the Midianites and the Amalekites. Let me pause here to simply share that sometimes, brothers and sisters, God places you where he places you because he wants you to help bring about change. This is the case with Gideon. The people were being oppressed by the Midianites. The Midianites were a nomadic people who would wait until the people of Israel had finished planting their crops, and they would sweep down on them, stealing their crops and herds and destroying whatever they could not take with them. This went on for about 7 years, and it was starting to get old, and so the people cried out, God, deliver us! Called out to God to help, and so God sent Gideon to help them. God says, Gideon, it's game time. In Judges chapter 6, God finds Gideon hiding in a wine press trying to avoid the Midianites. God shows up and says, Gideon, get up. It's game time. And I want you to lead my people to victory. Chapter 6 of Judges, Gideon has issues. Gideon says, God, I think you made a mistake. I think you made a mistake. I'm sure you found the wrong guy. God, I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. As a matter of fact, the people from the wrong side of the tracks look down on where I'm from. Not only that, God, I know you got the wrong person because I'm from the wrong side of the tracks, but my family is even one of the baddest families from the wrong side of the tracks. Not only that, I'm one of the lowest persons in my family. God, let me help you understand. I'm the one that didn't finish college and get the degree. I'm that one. I'm the one that didn't get the good job. I'm the one that don't have the rags to riches story. I'm the one. I didn't marry up. I just married average. God, you've got to be playing with me. Gideon says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest clan, and my family is the lowest family. And God says, don't worry, I'll be with you. Brothers and sisters, God knows who you are. God knows where you are. God knows your history, and he wants to do something in your life. He knows how to find find you even when you don't want to be found. There are so many people who are going through life just trying to blend in with the crowd, watching life pass them by, doubting their own ability and gifting when God has placed so much in you. You got all the fashion magazines but are scared to start designing. You manage everybody at work but are scared to apply for the position. You look at House Hunters on TV but are scared to apply for the loan. You love to cook and can cook, and everybody knows you love to cook and can cook, but you're scared to start your own restaurant. God knows who you are. He knows where you are, and he's saying, stop worrying. I've got your back, Gideon. I've got you covered. Gideon musters up enough courage to lead, and he tries to compensate for his weakness by surrounding himself with people. Some of us assemble a crowd around us to avoid what's going on in us. As long as I'm around people and they keep me happy and I'm smiling, I never have to deal with my own inner struggles. Gideon got 32,000 men to make camp near what's called the Spring of Herod. In Hebrew, it's called Enherod, which means the Spring of Trembling. Y'all remember that it's called the Spring of Trembling. From their vantage point, they could see the massive army of the Midianites. The Midianites had about 120,000. So Gideon's little ragtag army was no real threat for the Midianites. And then something shocking happens in the text. God sees that Gideon has his 32,000 against 120,000. God says, Gideon, you got too many people with you. Oh, how many of us would have had a few words for God? Brothers, y'all would have started clapping on God. I know you ain't bring me all the way out here and gonna tell me. Sisters would have had all the neck rolls. I know you ain't got me out here against all these people. And we'd have had some issues with God. God, I know you didn't bring me out here and gonna tell me I got too many. Many of us would have had a real issue with God. But wait, y'all, it gets gooder. God says, you've got too many for me to give you victory, because when they win, they'll get the big head and think they did it. I could not help but ask the perplexing question, God, what does the number of people have to do with you working? God, you can use the 32,000 against 120,000 and you would still be a powerful God. Why is God so concerned now with the number of people? God began to show me, Paul, it wasn't really the number, but it was the quality of the people. It was the quality of the people that matter. God is saying, Gideon, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop here at the spring called Trembling for a reason. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, there was a procedure established for getting or going into war. One of the procedures was this: to allow those who were afraid to go back home because their fear and negativity could spread to everyone else. God says, whoever is trembling and negative, you've got to let them go. Tell them to go home. If we're ever going to get all that God has for us, we've got to let some negative people go out of our lives. You can't tell everybody what God is doing in your life because their negative attitude will start to pull you down. Well, I don't know if I would do that. You sure God told you to do that? Maybe you ought to wait. You probably won't be able to do it anyway. You sure this is the right time? You sure this is the right place? Just negative. I don't know about you, but I avoid negative people. And Donald Trump, in one of his books, he says, avoid them like the plague. I'm going to update a little bit. Avoid them like Ebola. It's negative people are able to pull you down. You know, it's like you have a good day and you're getting up and you're really happy about the day, and you get this one phone call. Negative. about their own life, but it just messes up your whole morning. Negative people, I avoid them like the plague. Those people on the leadership team, they know really quick, I cut negative people off. If you're going to hang with me, you can't be negative. This is my kryptonite. As a preacher, I have found this out. I can't even hang with all preachers because you sure God didn't tell you. You know what, brother? You go sit over there. I'm going to go ahead and sit over here. The Lord done told me to get rid of negative people. If we're ever going to get all that God has for us, it's not the quantity, but it's the quality of people that matters. Yes. Tap your neighbor and say, let them go. Let them go. Gideon sent them home. 22,000 people left and went home. Okay, let me move on. I'm running out of time. So now he's down to 10,000. And God says, all right, cool, you got 10,000, but you still have too many people. He takes them to a stream, and God says, whoever gets down to drink like a dog, send them home. In other words, whoever isn't focused on the mission, send them home. We've got to let go some people who say they are with us, but when the rubber meets the road, they get ghosts. They are distracted. You can't find them. You know how they are. It's about to be a fight. I got your back, dog. I'm with you. We gonna do this. I got you. And you get close to the fight, and you can almost hear them running behind you. They the ones hollering, world star, but they ain't doing nothing to help you. I can't have that around me. And if we gonna really do this, I need serious people with me. There are people who you think are your friends who say, I got your back, but it's been 4 or 5 times they have let you down. They're telling you who they are. How did Medea say when people tell you who they are, believe them. Brothers and sisters, we've got to let them go. God says, those who aren't focused on the mission, send them home. If we're going to get all that God has for us, we've got to let go some negative people. There is something I saw on Pinterest. He's going to put it up on the screen really quick. Sometimes your circle decreases in size, but increases in value. Somebody can take a picture of this. Catch again. Sometimes your circle decreases in size, but increases in value. If I was on Facebook, I would post that. If I was on Twitter, I would post it. Sometimes your circle decreases in size, but increases in value. Here's why I would post it. So when you unfollow them, at least they got a little bit of a notice. When you stop answering the phone calls, at least they can realize, oh, maybe they are decreasing their circle so they can increase in value. Brothers and sisters, we've got to let some people go. Get rid of negative people. Get rid of the people who are not really focused on the mission that God has placed in your life. Here it is. Second point is this. After we've let some people go, we've got to learn to listen. Learn to listen. Brothers, if you're here in a relationship, I know the woman wants me to say a little bit about listening, but because I'm a brother, I ain't going to do that. So here's what we're going to do. Got y'all really hopes up just a little bit. That's okay. You still love me. Check it out. Here it is. Learn to listen. We remember last week we talked about Joshua. Joshua is getting ready to take a city of Jericho. And they heard that the people were camped inside so much so that nobody went out and nobody came in. There are times when God will allow us to hear how the enemy is already afraid of us, just so we'll have enough courage to run on and to trust God. Here it is. They go down. He says, listen, I want you just to get a preview to make sure you got enough courage because you only see 300. I want you to understand what I'm going to do. Go down and just listen to what they're saying. He goes down and he overhears somebody talking about a dream that he had. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, you will be sitting at work and you will just overhear the conversation and your name will pop up. Sometimes sometimes God will allow us to hear our haters talk about us just to give us enough courage to run on. There is nothing that gives me enough courage more than hearing a hater hating on me. When I hear that, I know, God, you got to be doing something in my life. Here's why this is. People who are no threat don't get talked about. People who are no threat don't get... When's the last time you heard somebody start a rumor on a homeless person? They're not a threat. Whenever you hear people begin to talk about you or trying to pull you down or say negative things about you, that ought to just be a sign. God, you got to be doing something real in my life. Whenever God allows us to hear it, understand that God is trying to give us enough courage to keep running on. I'll give us a quick little story. I'm an alpha, and so as an alpha, we have a little bit of arrogance with us. And so I was hanging with a group of preachers, and again, you know, preachers are real people. I know this one guy just didn't really like me. I'm at one table, and I heard my name at the other table. And so what I did, I'm this guy, I got up, and I sat next to him, and I said, I heard you talking about me, so I made sure I didn't want to miss anything that you said, so I came a little closer to make sure I could hear it. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God will allow us to hear what other people say about us to let us know, God, you got to be doing something in my life. And so instead of getting mad, instead of getting upset, instead of going off, giving them a piece of your mind, understand, God, you're doing something in my life. So brothers and sisters, I got to run on. We have to be willing to listen more. God will allow us to hear it so that he reassures us that he's with us. Third point is this. Look to God. Look to God. Come on, one more time. Look to the God. Look to God. When they saw this, Joshua went back. Joshua said, get up. It's game time. I know God is with me because even the enemy is scared. Brothers and sisters, when you realize your enemy is scared, it gives you enough courage just to run on. He came back and said, y'all, get up. We don't have enough people. I know that clearly God is with us. They don't even do much other than shout. And because of that, God moved in such a way that their enemy was frightened. They didn't stand a chance against them, but because of their shout and their belief in God, God gave them victory. Because with God, less is more. Let me help us to understand that. I'm going to give us a few examples and I'll be out of your way. With God, less is more. Moses, come here. Can you help us understand this? Moses says, I remember God told me to do something. I said, God, I ain't got nothing with me. God said, what you got in your hand? I ain't got nothing but a stick. God says, that's cool. I can use that with me. Less is more. And Moses was able to stand and put out his staff and watch the east wind and the west wind blow. And they walked across the sea on dry ground. Okay, come here, David. Come here, David. David, what you got in your hand? All I have is a slingshot, but I'm going up against a giant. But as long as I got God on my side, less is still more. With the slingshot, David, who was a boy, still defeated a giant. Okay, that's not enough for you. Come here. With a woman, what you got? All I have is sticks and a few pieces of meal to make a little bit for my son and I to eat this and to die. But I give it to God. And so with God, I found out that less is more. Okay, that didn't get you. Let's come a little bit closer. There was a little boy who had two fishes and five loaves of bread. Gave it to Jesus. And he found out that Jesus fed multitudes with less. Brothers and sisters, with God on our side, less is more. That didn't get you. Let's come a little bit closer. There was a man named Jesus. Jesus took two sticks and three nails and saved all of humanity because he said, God, I'm giving it to you because if you left is more. As long as we trust God with what we have, we can win victories in our lives. Somebody came in here right now knowing that God has given you a vision. God has given you a dream, but you're looking at where you are saying, I don't have it all. As long as you're willing to give it to God, you will realize that with God, less is more. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to get all that God has for us, if we're going to get in the game, we got to let some people go. Negative people, people who aren't on the same mission with us, we got to let them go. Then we've got to learn to listen. Our haters can very well be our elevators. Finally, we've got to look to God, because with God, less is more. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you now. Thank you for sharing your word with us. Thank you for helping us to understand, Lord, that with you less is more. Somebody came in and they said, Lord, that's my life right now. I can tell about less. I got that. Lord, I'm beginning to trust you with the little bit that I have. Believing, Lord God, that you can expand my territory even when less is more. Lord God, we pray right now that you would have your way in our lives. Maybe there's somebody here right now, Lord God, who came in and they've never accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord God, who's accepted you, but they messed up. They went back into the world. Now they're coming in and you're wanting to say to them that I still love you. I still care for you. They may want to recommit their life to Christ. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord God, they've been in church, but they've never been baptized. They've never made a public affirmation of their belief in you. Maybe, Lord God, you're touching somebody's heart to say, this is the time for you to really say that you are a Christian by letting the whole world know I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray now that you would touch minds, that you would touch hearts, and that you would touch them. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. With God, less is more. I'll give us an example why less is more. I'll take myself for a quick example. I came from a very country area. Yeah, when I say country, I mean I didn't have central heat. I chopped wood to stay warm, milk cows in the morning before going to school. I was raised by my grandmother who could not read or write. She believed that God could do something. I had a whole lot less. I had a lot of love. I had a lot of care. I can remember we had government food. Some of y'all remember the long block of cheese, powdered milk, the cornflakes in that white box. Some of us remember those stories, and you had some cereal and you had to put water and sugar on it. Less. But we had more love. We had more care. We had more family time. Relationships were real. Where you could go to your neighbor and say, girl, sugar. Or you was going to school at night, you didn't have anybody to watch your child, but there was that one neighbor, that old lady, that she was mean, but she would watch your baby and care. You had less, but you still seemed to have more. Some of us have gotten confused when we got stuff. Then we thought we needed quantity of people. We got more stuff, and people all of a sudden want to be around us. And God wants to let us know, brothers and sisters, that with God, less more. Less is when we say, God, I need you. Less is when we say, God, I can't make it without you. That's when we hear God say, in your weakness, I am made strong. As you stand all over the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, maybe there's somebody here right now. You come in and you're saying, man, I had all the quantity of people around me. I didn't really have the quality. I had the lifestyle. I did that. Everybody was my friends, and we did the turn up and we did all of that, but I didn't have quality. I need that in my life. I can do without the crowds. I really want serious connections and serious relationships. My brother, my sister, maybe you've never had the relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you are wanting to recommit your life to Christ. Here at Uplift, we make that very easy for you. We pray a collective prayer. You don't have to come and tell everybody your whole story. That's between you and God. You can be real with God, saying, God, I've had all the crowd around me, but it wasn't real relationships. I'm trying to be real with you now, God. So that when the bottom falls out in my life, I know you're going to always be there for me. For your word says that you will never leave me nor forsake me. My brother, my sister, if you've never